You know, when it's your turn to preach, I struggle with, well, what are we going to preach about? Anyway, this message probably shows maybe where I'm at. You know, as I look over my life and look at some of my responses and things like that, I realize that that wasn't a humble response. Am I a humble person? I thought, you know, I believe I need a message on humility. So I started doing some study on humility. Of course, that brought me to pride. You know, if I'm not a humble person, then I'm a proud person. So this morning, we're going to look at, hopefully in this short time here, we're going to look at humility and pride. And hopefully we can be challenged. Like I said, this morning our title is, Am I an Humble Person? We're going to be looking at humility. We're also going to look at pride, which is the opposite of humility. You know, sometimes it's easiest to define humility as being the opposite of pride. When you think about that, you know, if we are not humble, then we are proud. We are one of the others. I want to look at a few verses here. Turn to James 4, verse 10. These are verses from God's Word. I want you to think about as we go through this message. I have a couple verses here. There are verses that are very familiar. We probably know most of these. James 4, verse 10 reads like this. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Turn to Luke 14, verse 11. Luke 14, verse 11 reads like this. Verse 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And turn to Proverbs 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. You know, we're not going to turn to it, but you know, pride is what got Lucifer cast out of heaven. Think about that. And just a few more verses from Proverbs. Chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 16 to 19. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, a proud look is listed with the seven things that are an abomination to the Lord. It says the Lord hates these things. Let's remember those verses as we go through this. Of course, when I started thinking about pride, I all of a sudden brought back a lot of memories of course, I work with the public. And it's easy to see pride in someone else's life. I'm just going to give you a couple scenarios. But, you know, a lot of times it's hard to see it in our own lives. Let me just to get you thinking here. We had a man stop in at the shop to show off his new truck. He came in and said, "Come out and look at my pride and joy. It is one beauty." And he couldn't get done talking about all the options. Now, this isn't a sermon on new pickups. All our vehicles are going to be in the junkyard, and we'll need to replace them. But there is a difference. If it's your pride and joy, and you need a new one every so often, there's a difference between that or someone getting a new one and they just bought it for transportation. I enjoy vehicles. I mean, we work on them. It's nice to see what the new ones are, technology, what all they come up with. But it's one happening. We had a young man that bought a brand new pickup. One of the first things he did was come down and talk about his exhaust. He needed to have a cat-back system installed. For you of those that don't know what a cat-back system is, it's you take the stainless system off from the converter back. You take off a stainless system that would usually last the life of a vehicle and install a freer flowing louder muffler with dual tailpipes and nice big chrome tips. You know, these systems, unless you use a stainless system pipe, are going to only last you a few years. But this young man was so excited about getting this exhaust reworked, he wondered how soon we could do this. He needed this as soon as possible. And then he said, "When I get this exhaust reworked, that sound is going to turn heads." Okay. Another man was looking at purchasing wheels and tires. And he said, if I go with this wheel and this tire, this will make my truck look like another truck. It'll give that tough, macho look that I'm looking for." And then one more. While shopping, I saw someone fitting on some clothes. They were standing in front of a mirror and just adjusting things and looking at themselves. Then I heard them say to a friend, "Doesn't this make me look awesome?" Now, just these people that I talked about, they're just being honest. You know, they're just saying how they feel. You know, what's on the inside is coming out. And, you know, it's so easy to look at them and see pride just dripping off of them. You know, maybe some of us are guilty of thinking thoughts like we talked about, but maybe we sure aren't going to see them. But as I look into my heart, I realize that this ugly thing called pride keeps showing its face. And this morning, if we're honest, pride is something that we all struggle with. It really is. You know, our sinful human nature has given each one of us a good dose of pride. If you're here this morning and don't think you struggle with pride in your life, it's probably one of two things. You don't understand what pride is, or you're too proud to admit you struggle with pride. I thought about pride. You know, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to be intelligent or greatly skillful to struggle with pride. You know, the poor and the low class folks struggle with pride. That can be a challenge to each one of us. You know, if you or I are envious of the rich, that's pride. You know, we just you wish you were just as rich as they were. If you're envious of those who you consider better looking than yourself, that's an expression of pride. You know, you wish you were just as good looking as they are. You know, we often think of pride in relation to our looks. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm not proud of my looks. I know I'm not good looking. But probably most of us would have something that we'd like to change. You know, maybe you think your nose or your ears are too big, or your face is too long, or you wish you had another color hair, or maybe you wish you had hair. But are you envious of those who are good looking? Can you accept God's design for you and be okay with it? And I couldn't help but think of, probably most of you remember Mark Yoder, and you know probably know what I'm gonna say. But I remember one thing that he said. I don't remember any. He was here, he was our evangelist. I can't even say how many years ago, but one thing that really, he said it many times that week, and the two words was divine design. And talking about something that you can't change or how you're made or whatever. And I'll be honest, I was struggling with losing my hair. And it really bugged me. You know, a head of hair is a lot better looking than no hair. But you know, it was Mark Yoder's, that divine design, that stuck with me. And I would say probably helped me. You know, it's like, listen, there's nothing I can do about it. It's okay. There's nothing I can do except accept it. The same for each one of us. You know, if you wish you were, if you think you're too tall, if you think you should be taller, you can go down the list. You can't change it. Remember that. Divine design. You know, there's people that have more talents than we have. You know, if you're jealous of those who have more talents than you have, that's your pride. Pride can be so deceiving. I thought about, you know, there's feelings of inferiority, and that's triggered by pride. You know, a person who has developed an inferiority complex is all wrapped up in themselves and worried about what others think of them. And then just when I feel like I've conquered my pride and am now an humble person, I can become proud of my humility. And right then I lost it. I have two quotes I came across. First one, humility is a strange thing. The minute you think you got it, you lost it. And another one, humility is something we should constantly pray for, yet never thank God that we have. I like them. Just going to list a couple things. We talked about pride, some of the what pride is, and just going to list a few things of what humility is. You know, there is a big difference between feeling worthless and feeling unworthy. You know, humility is feeling like I am unworthy before an almighty, holy God, but not worthless. Humility is not feeling like I am not worth anything. Humility is accepting how God made me. Humility is being willing to accept God's design for my life. Humility is willing to serve others. Humility is okay with not receiving honor for all my accomplishments. And humility gives God the glory for my abilities. And humility is being willing to accept the fact that not everyone has to think highly of me. And then one more. Humility is being willing to admit that I make mistakes. And that is okay, because I'm human. I will try to learn from my mistakes and hopefully don't keep repeating them. This morning, I have some tests of humility we're going to look at for the rest of the message. It's some questions that we need to ask ourselves. I have seven questions that will help us to see if we are really a humble person. And like I say, there could be many more. I just listed seven. And it's, if I didn't have one that you struggle with, come up with it yourself. But like I say, some of these maybe needs from my own life. First test of humility. Number one, it's a question. How well can I receive correction? Think about that. Here's a tough one for me. What happens when, and you can put in whatever scenario you need to, but the question is, how well can I receive correction? What happens when your spouse addresses an issue? I'm talking to the husbands and the wives. What happens? Think about that. You know, maybe it goes something like this. You know, your response to that situation really wasn't right. You know, it needs some help. Was your response really godly? Or maybe don't you think you overreacted? Well, you probably know those initial feelings when your spouse maybe asks you some of those questions, tries to give you some advice. What can happen? Well, you can start making excuses. I did this because this person did this or said this. You know how it goes. You start justifying yourself. Or maybe you start thinking these thoughts, or maybe you even say them. Tell your spouse that you have some areas in your life that need some help. Or you start listing them. So what's happening? You start attacking the person that actually is trying to help you. I don't know. Did you ever respond like that? I know I have. It's not humility. It really isn't. It's pride. Just to the youth, let's say your parents are addressing some concerns, maybe that they see in the youth group. Maybe it's about some clothes being worn or places the youth are going that are not acceptable. And you're saying, what's wrong with it? Everyone does it. Everyone's doing it. And you're thinking, you know, my parents are just old-fashioned. You know, they're 30 years behind the times. You know, they are just impossible. Well, I'm going to just tell you, as parents, we know how you feel. Because we've all been there. And just in just a few years, be there. So just respond in humility and listen. Take advice. Just remember, your parents are making calls and trying to help you make choices that are for your own good. You know, it doesn't matter what authority it is in your life. God has placed it there. And your response and how you receive correction will show whether you have pride in your life or whether you are an humble person. Remember, the question was, how well can I receive correction? Just a couple questions. Do I become defensive and hurt? Do I turn into a porcupine with all quills pointing out? Do I attack the people who are trying to help me? Did you ever hear someone say, or were guilty of saying yourself, they have no right to talk, you know, because they did thus and thus. And you put in there whatever fits, you know. If I do that, it's an expression of pride, really is. A humble person is willing to accept corrections. Instead of all quills pointing out, they will examine their heart and life and learn from it. Grow from that correction. Just two verses. Proverbs 9, verse 8 reads like this. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a man, and he will love thee. And Proverbs 1, 5 reads like this. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You know, ask yourself the question. Which am I? Am I a wise person or a scorner? And I know we probably all have experienced times when we've been accused falsely or an untrue rumor has been spread about us. How do we respond then? You know, those are tough times. You know, everyone likes to know that you're loved and appreciated. No one likes to be drug into the dirt. But to be consumed with the thought of what do people think of me is really an expression of pride, really is. And if we're truly humble, we can meekly accept it and live so that people won't believe something that's untrue about us. You know, maybe God knew we needed the experience to help us grow more like him. And I want to be understood right in this point. You know, there may be times when it's okay to go to someone and talk about a false report about yourself. But a lot of times there's no way we can track down a rumor altogether. And we just need to learn to let it go. Quote, came across, humility is the freedom from a sense of one's own importance. I like that. I just like to reword that a little and say, humility is the freedom from worrying about my own reputation. And I thought about Jesus, you know, he's our perfect example of this. Just think what all he went through. You know, who was more falsely accused than Jesus? Yet the Bible tells us in Psalms 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, what did it say? When he was reviled, he did not revile back. When he suffered, he didn't threaten in return. Tremendous example. Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Second test of humility. Number two, how easily are my feelings hurt? You know, pride believes that everyone should treat me right. And I'm here to say that's not real life. Really isn't. You know, we live in a fallen world, and we will not always be treated right. That's the facts of life. And probably you and I have not always treated people right. Luke 17, verse 1 says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." So the question is, if someone hurts my feelings, how do I respond? If I have a self-pity party for myself, it is really an expression of my pride. You know, my pride was wounded because I thought I deserved better than I got. Well, I believe a humble person will take the matter to the Lord and let it rest with Him. In fact, you can take it one step further. And with a heart of love, we'll heap coals of fire on the other person's head. Romans 12, verse 20 says, "Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." That didn't say a friend. That said, if thine enemy hunger. The only way this really works is if we make sure we respond with love in our hearts and not with the attitude of trying to make the other person feel bad. Third test of humility. How easily do I become angry? You know, anger can be our response when we feel like we are being mistreated or not treated fairly. You know, we hear a lot today about our rights. People demand their rights. Do I get angry when I feel I'm not receiving my rights? Well, if we do, that is an expression of pride, really is. Maybe someone has done something that I have a right to be angry about. You know, anger is it's an emotion, and it's something that we all have, and I believe we all struggle with. But examine your heart and see when and what really stirs up your anger. We need to stay in control of our anger and never let our anger control us. Anger is, it's way too deep a subject to get into this morning. But pride is easily angered, and a humble spirit will be slow to anger. For an example, I think I'm going to read a few verses. Turn to Genesis 26. It's a good example. Isaac. Genesis 26, verse 14. I'll read 14 to 22. This is talking about Isaac. The Lord blessed him. 13, the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Verse 14, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence, and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. That's just a small picture of that story. But it takes an humble person to respond like Isaac did. It really does. You know, Isaac had the right to get angry. You know, these wells were his. They had dug them. It's one thing to have something taken from you one time. But for this to happen time after time, when we say, now that's crossing the line. You know, we may think, now I have the right to get angry. But I was challenged with his response. James 1 verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Fourth test of humility, number four. Can I be happy for others who excel in something better than I do? And this may be a challenge in every area of your life. I'm just going to list a few. You can pick the area that you think about. You know, in church life, you know, maybe it's someone your age or a good friend can have devotions or teach a Sunday school class better than you can. Can I be happy for them? Or maybe your best friend has his own business and things seem to be going well for him. Can I be happy for him? Put in there whatever you want to. Do I feel like I must always be on the top? You know, how do I respond when I hear a compliment about someone else? Do I get jealous? Let's turn to 1 Samuel 18 for an example. Example, Saul got very jealous when he heard the ladies singing praises to David for killing Goliath. 1 Samuel 18, I just want to read verses 6 and 7. We're just pulling two verses out of a very good story, but chapter 18, verse 6 says, and it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And then verse 8 says, and Saul was very wroth. You know, Saul failed the test. The question is, can you be happy for others who excel in something better than you do? Fifth test. Do I need the best of everything? And I know there's so many places we could go with that. But turn to Genesis 13. I thought of Abraham and the choice that he gave Lot. We all know the story very well. I just want to read a few verses. Genesis 13, verse 7, read 7 to 11. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. I know that's just part of the story, but I see Abraham as a humble person. One of the things that he did, he left Lot choose. He left him have first choice. You know, he could have said, look, I'm your uncle. You should honor and respect me and give me the best. But no, he left him choose first. That takes humility. And as we look at Lot's life, I see the opposite in Lot. A person looks out for themselves. And like it says, Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw what was good. And he chose that. You know, a proud person looks out for themselves. I believe Lot was thinking, I'm number one. I make choices for my benefit, and it really doesn't matter what the other person is left with. Well, I believe another sign of humility is when someone takes the best, and then we're left with less than the ideal. And we can accept it and go on. Can we say, that's okay, and get on with life? I had to wonder how I would have accepted what Abraham did. Would I have had the used, pity me attitude? You know, Lot really stuck it to me feeling. Do I like to have the newest and the greatest out there? Or can I be satisfied with less than the best? Remember, the best isn't always the best for us. Sixth test of humility, number six. How much time do I spend thinking about myself? How much time I spend thinking about myself is an indication of whether I am an humble person or not. You know, there are people that are just consumed with themselves, and all they think about is themselves. And you could go, this can be a challenge in every area of life. You know, there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time and money on how they look, and that can affect us too. How we dress and how we look says a lot about us. And I just want to throw out just a few challenges about our dress, and I want to do it in love. But just remember, the clothing designers, and I think Dale would back me up here. I didn't call him and ask him, but the clothing designers are not godly people guided by Christian principles. They're really not. The designers of our day design clothes to show off your body and make you look good. And clothes are designed to help you make a statement of who you really are. And when you think about that, these motives are in total violation of Bible principles. Just to the young men, you know, stay away from those designer shirts and jeans. You know, a lot of them are not designed for modesty and simplicity. You know, the cuts that they're made, they're just not designed for modesty and simplicity. and to the sisters. I know you sew your own cape dresses, but be careful. There are still the temptations to change your pattern, to follow the fashions of the world. You know, those fashions that we see out in the world, sometimes we see them coming into the church. And also remember, you know, the fabric you choose either expresses a meek spirit or a want-to-be-noticed spirit. Modesty, simplicity, and separation should be our guiding principles. And I believe if we follow these three principles, we will make right choices. We really will. Just a quote from Daniel Kaufman that I liked. Said, "The big eye is never on parade when the heart is filled with humility." Think about that. Number 7. How do I respond when I receive a compliment? Do I take all the credit and stack it up as a credit to my name? Yes, I did well there. Do I glory in myself, you know, pat myself on the back? Or do I humbly give God the glory for any gifts that he has given me? You know, everything that we can do, have, or anything that we have done is a gift from him. And we should realize that we're just a vessel being used by him. A.W. Tozer was once presented to the congregation with a flattering speech. His response was, "All I can say is, dear God, forgive him for what he said, and forgive me for enjoying it so much." I like that. You know, we're pride in our lives. You know, we just like to receive them compliments. You know, we all can be tempted to become proud when we're given compliments. Just one more Bible example of humility is Moses. I know we all know Moses as a meek, humble man. Numbers 12:3 tells us, "Now the man of Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." And once again, here's D.L. Moody. I liked what he said about Moses. "Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. Then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert realizing he was nobody. And finally, he spent the last 40 years of his life learning what God could do with a nobody. You know, as long as we are proud and think that we are somebody, God cannot use us. You know, sometimes he may need to send us through some experiences to humble us and teach us that without him, we are nothing. Just another quote, and then I want to close with one verse. The quote is, "God has two thrones, one in the highest heavens, the other in the lowliest heart." That's another one of D.L. Moody's quotes. I want to close with Isaiah 57:15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." It's a good verse. God's blessing to each one of you. I know your lives are, I appreciate what I see. I know you're striving to be a humble person. Let's just work at it. That ugly thing called pride just has a way of working into coming out in our lives. And let's be a humble person. That's what God's looking for. Let's come before the Lord in a kneeling prayer.